Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The GigCast. Welcome to the GigCast. This is GigCast Show 184. That was supposed to go out on the 13th of March, 2009. Instead, it's going out late Sunday night, March 15th, 2009. Beware the Ides of Marth. Marth? Beware the Ides of March. It may just get you a GigCast. Yeah, sorry it's late, folks, but better late than never. And it's chock full of information and stuff like you wouldn't believe. We have an incredible interview with Lucas Turnbloom from Imagine This at ImagineThisComic.com. He's got a movie he wants to talk to you guys about. We had a great time talking with him. We also, of course, have your shallow thought from Christian Ellis. We've got the TBBA Spotlight. We've got a brand new segment called the Webcomic Wire. And we also have a visit to the Night Gig Studios Lounge stage downstairs in the coffee shop. And so we've got some music for you. So we've got everything chocked full into this wonderful concoction known as a GigCast 184. Scott was with me for the interview. He's not here today now for the news, so it's just me. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break now. We're going to get a shallow thought. We're going to get our TBBA spotlight out of the way, and then we're going to come back, do some news, do some Twitter bits, see what you guys have to say. We've got some email news and stuff like that. Then we're going to get into the webcomic watch. We've got so much to do, so please stand by for that, all of that, right after this.
Prepare to drown your brain in a tablespoon of philosophy. It's Christiana's Shallow Thoughts on the GigCast. And now, Christiana's Shallow Thoughts. You know, so many people live their lives without passion, and that's a shame. Sure, lives without passion may be more stable or predictable, but at what cost? Nothing less than the vitality of life. So then, how does one live life with passion? Well, I'm not an expert really, but it seems to me that you should look for that one thing that you really do well, that you love, and then pursue it wherever it might take you. Not everybody knows what that one thing is for them, but until they do, their one thing should be to find out. Anyway, I know my one thing, but I can't honestly say that I have pursued it vigorously. In fact, I have been putting it off for a long time. But that's actually why I know it's so right. That's why I would like to announce, right now, my intention to enter the world of professional procrastinating. I know it won't be easy, but I believe I am up to the challenge. You see, the trick is not to look too eager. ShallowThoughts.libsyn.com and ChristianaEllis.com, 206-984. I can finish this tomorrow.
What's it, Sophie? It's the time again? Come on, let's go.
It's time Time for some links from a guy in the know. When it comes to making comics, hey, this guy is a pro. Searches the web to find stuff he likes, and we share him with you on the TBBA Spotlight. It's the Bastard Brian Anderson Spotlight. From the GigCast and DogEatDoug.com. That's right, it's time once again for the TBBA Spotlight. That bastard Brian Anderson has sent up a slew of comics on the web that he's been looking at that he wants you guys to give a look-see to at as well. Yeah, sentence not in order. Good. Anyway, what we got this week is, let's start out with George Comics. George Comics is by John Norton. It is about a cartoonist and his friends and their wacky hijinks that ensue. You can check them out at george-comics.com. It looks familiar. I'm not sure if we've told you that one or not, but give it another look. It's pretty good. It's very cool. And yeah, full color. And yeah, check it out. All right, the next one is Willow's Grove. This is by Carl Cleese, or Cleese. Very interesting comic. It's black and white. It's about Max, Bob, Fred, and Max, Bob, and Fred have been abducted. Well, two of them have. I believe Fred is actually, his replicant is on the ship, while Bob, Max and Bob, who are a dog and a lizard respectively, they have replicants back on Earth with their families and girlfriends, and they're out in the shipping lanes with these aliens. It's a very weird, very strange, very cool, very sci-fi-y. Be sure to check it out. It is, like I said, it's a black and white comic, but, you know, black and shades of gray in there as well, not just a straight up line art. It's very well done. Check it out. And apparently the man himself lives, who draws this, lives somewhere in Florida, because he has a very similar view of the shuttle as I had, that went off, tonight, this being Sunday. Yes, I'm recording this very late. I apologize. All right. The next, thing that, Mr. Anderson wanted to let you guys know about is, IME t-shirts are now for sale over at the Telltale Features store. IME being IMY, the rock t-shirts that IME wears. You can check them out in the store there, Telltale Features. But basically, TelltaleFeatures.com. And you can find the t-shirts linked to there. Well, they're at imecomic.com. IMY. IME, I believe it's IME. It could be IME, MY, IME. Anyway, imecomic.com. Check it out. The next comic that Brian wanted you to look at is called Sword City Blues. It is a not really a black and white comic, but it's a kind of a muted black and white comic with splashes of color in there. And according to the About page, Mr. Charles Schnieflock Snow, if that is his real name, basically says that Sword City Blues is a comic book about real life. It focuses on mainly on conflicts based on spirituality, morality, and purpose rather than on matters of life and death. The characters are just ordinary people living in the city, because that's what it was when he started it years ago. But it's a great mature up, you know, mature not as in gratuity and that kind of stuff, but mature as in actual issues that real people may deal with. It's not really autobiographical, as he says, but it is a finer project, and it will come to an end some point. So if you want to read it, go ahead and read it. It's a great comic at swordcityblues.com. And I believe that is everything that Brian wanted me to let you guys know about this time around. So hopefully with the GigCast back on a regular schedule of real shows, after this one being a little late, but hopefully put together pretty well, we'll be back to a regular schedule. All right, so until next time, this is JT Shea for Brian Anderson saying, go follow him at twitter.com/dogeatdoug, or of course go to dogeatdoug.com. Follow his comic every day. It's great. It's, I guess, getting better and better all the time. Brian, haven't told you this in a while. Loving it. All right, folks. Again, this is JT Shea, now returning you to your regularly scheduled GigCast, already in progress. And we're back. All right, folks. There's just a few things I want to mention before we get into the emails and the Twitter bits from you folks. These may or may not have been mentioned later on in the Twitter bits and news, but I wanted to get them out there. You know, if you guys are a fan of The Watchmen, especially the graphic novel, not the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet. However, I really, really enjoyed Scott Kurtz's PvP parody he did last week. If you haven't seen that yet, go back and see it. I believe it starts sometime March 7th, March 10th. Somewhere around there is when it started. It's really great. Go back and read that. 5 days of hilarity. Especially if you're a fan of the Watchmen graphic novel. All right. Wanted to get that out of the way. All right. Now let's get into the news. And let's see here. It's this is going to be kind of rough. And I apologize for everything going on there. But first thing I want to make sure I get out there, because he's been trying to make sure I told us a thousand times. Steal This Comic is turning 1 year, or it has turned 1 year. It's turning 1 year really soon. I bet it already has turned 1 year because this is coming out so late. But I promise Carlisle I'll get this out there to him. So go to stealthiscomic.com and wish the guy 1 year, happy 1 year anniversary for his webcomic. A great comic. You should, the art, the story is spot on. Check it out. So there you go, Carlisle. Congratulations. A big GigCast round of applause for turning 1 year. That's awesome, man. Keep it up. Keep it up. Only good things can happen, right? Right. All right, so we got that. It's not going to do that. I said I wasn't going to do that. Getting into Twitter bits now. There was some other email in there that I wanted to talk about, but it was not what I thought it was. It was something different. So I'm not going to get into that. So back, we're going to just jump right into Twitter bits here. Let's see. Chris Flick wanted me to let you people know that PC Weenies is guest starring in Capes and Babes. It was actually on the 13th, but go back and check it out if you haven't. It's really cool. Bob shows up in Capes and Babes in his his retail store persona. Some great stuff there. A little crossover between Krishna and Chris there over on Capes and Babes. And if you're not reading Capes and Babes, you need to. So check them out. I believe it's capesandbabes.com. And if not, you can follow Chris at twitter.com/capesandbabes, and then you can get to it from there. That's an easy way to do that. The next Twitter bit came in from Garrett Williams. He did a 13-hour comic for Friday the 13th, 13 pages in 13 hours with some zombies and dinosaurs and stuff like that. And of course, Garrett is the guy who does Kenny Chronicles, so if you go to kennychronicles.com, you can catch up on his 13 page in 13 hours for the 13-hour comic day for Friday the 13th, which I'm not sure if that was an actual event that a lot of people participated in, but it's a neat idea to do something to get your name out there. And why not? You know, sure, go for it. Congratulations on that. What is this? Eric sent me a message. Why was this? Oh, yeah, okay. Altaverse is, okay. This was sent to me via Facebook, which is not usually the way I get things. But if you're a fan of the GigCast, you've often heard us mention, tongue-in-cheek, the orc porn that was kind of our limits of what we would really want to talk about on the show. But anyway, Eric, the man behind that stuff, actually has a new webcomic set in the same universe as the other comics he does, but it's a PG-13, so it's a cleaned up version. It's called Altaverse, and it's pretty much about an orc named Claude who wants to be the first orc rock star, and he hooks up with a in order to pay the bills, he works as a mercenary, hooks up with an agent who's doing all kinds of weird stuff. But yeah, if you're a fan of that sort of thing, check it out. I believe it's over on Drunk Duck. Where is the link to it? Did he give me a link? I know I'd seen it. He linked me on Facebook. I believe if you do a search for Altaverse on Drunk Duck, that's where you'll find it, because that's where you'll find all of Eric's comics. So sorry, Eric, if it's not immediately here. But check him out. It's called Alter-Verse. Orc porn without the porn, I think, is pretty much how you can say that is. So be sure to check it out. And, oh, yeah, I've got a thing from J.C. Hutchins, who wanted us to play the promo for his new thing, Personal Effects, which I think we'll do because J.C. is such a bitchin' dude, if I can say that. And so, as a matter of fact, I'll insert that right here. So stand by for the promo for Personal Effects, and then we'll be right back with some more webcomic news.
In the The Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy, author J.C. Hutchins sent you underground to a secret human cloning factory. You clawed your way to the surface. You survived. Prepare to head into hell again. Welcome to Brinkville Psychiatric Hospital, the setting for Hutchins' next novel, the supernatural thriller, Personal Effects, Dark Art. It's a rotten place with a bloody history. Nine stories of howling madness, built inside an abandoned brownstone quarry. Locals call it the Brink. And now, J.C. Hutchins and creator Jordan Weissman are opening the doors of their bloody creation before the book's June bookstore debut. But you're not getting a guided tour of the Brink. You're being committed. Become a part of publishing history by admitting yourself to the Brink and becoming a patient of art therapist Zach Taylor. Inject yourself into the personal effects universe. Create a patient profile. Receive your admittance papers. Contribute artwork. And earn the insanely cool privilege to appear on Brinkvale Psychiatric's official website. Find your first art assignment now at jchutchins.net/thebrink. Fill out your patient paperwork, submit your art, and come back for more assignments. Get creative. Get crazy. Get committed. Go to jchutchins.net/thebrink for more information, or visit jchutchins.net/personal effects to learn more about the book. Coming this June.
All right. Hey, you know, you guys, who, if you listen to this, chances are you've got some art interests, right? Webcomics, art, that sort of thing. So this is a great opportunity for you to head on over to that website there, jchutchins.net, and participate. It's a great way to get your name known, and believe me, those J.C. Hutchins fans, a.k.a. Beta Clones, are huge supporters of anything J.C. Hutchins does. And it's a great way to, for you to get your work in front of them, and then maybe they'll backtrack and check out your webcomic. So head on over and give J.C. a little help there, and he'll, believe me, it could help you out too. All right. Anyway, you know what? Now it's time for a brand new segment here in the GigCast. And you know, right after this segment, we're going to go right into the Night Geek Studios Lounge. We'll go down, listen to some music, have a cup of Joe before coming up and talking to Lucas Turnbloom about Imagine This. So what do you say? That sounds like a plan. Say what? Take a listen to the new webcomic Wire, and I'll meet you downstairs for that cup of Joe. All right. So we'll see you then. Today on the show, I'd like to start a new segment, a new regular segment called the Webcomic Wire. Now, those of you who go to thegigcast.com on a regular basis know the Webcomic Wire is a list of stories put together by Mr. Michael Moss of quitting-time.com. He is a member of Dung Beetle Comics and of Night Geek Studios, who has been doing the news for us, this Webcomic Wire article on the Gigcast for a couple of years now. At least it seems like it's got to be a couple of years now. But anyway, what I've decided to do is take some of these stories and let you know what is happening in the Webcomic Wire in this new segment called The Webcomic Wire. The Webcomic Wire. Headlines and links from the world of webcomics. Gathered and edited by Michael Moss and brought to you by The Gigcast. Today's links are from March 10th, 2009. This is J.T. Shea. Andrew Farrago announced the passing of Rod Gilchrist, executive director of the Cartoon Art Museum. Our heartfelt condolences go out to the Gilchrist family and friends for their loss. Palace in the Sky Webcomics News has an interview with Jay Gray, creator of Mysteries of the Arcana. Comic Talk links to a printable do-it-yourself comic on how to make mini-comics. Kind of meta, isn't it? The New England Webcomics Weekend 2009 reaches capacity. And what a capacity it should be. Good luck to everybody that's there. Hope to have a great time and hope to hear back from some of you on your experiences. Maria Walters asks, what's up with webcomics? You can find out at her blog. Gaming Isle has some picks for their segment, Webcomics of the Week. Mashables has posted their list of the 20 best webcomics. Go see if yours make the cut. The Webcomic Overlook reviews Netroid's Picture Diary. PR.com has a press release about a 50-year-old video editor named Byron Wilkins who changed careers to become a webcomic artist. Let's hope he's got some money stored away in the bank to tide him over till the cash starts rolling in. The Floating Lightbulb posts about some newer webcomics. Comics 411 has an interview with Larry Latham. God's Playing Poker moves from Thursday to Friday. Coyote Tracks Webcomic Critique has a review of Boxes O' Foxes. Issue 19 of Creative Characters has an interview with Cyrus Highsmith. And Newsarama has the nominees for the LA Times Book Prize, which were announced on March 3rd. And that's your Webcomic Wire for GigCast 184. Remember, all links can be found in the Webcomic Wire for March 10th, 2009. This is JT Shea for Michael Moss saying, we'll find them so you can read them. Now back to the GigCast. Coming up next in the Night Gig Studios Lounge stage, it's a father-daughter team from Tarpon Springs, Florida. The band called The Barn Kickers. This is off their debut CD, Up Before Noon, which is available, of course, at CD Baby. You can check them out also at thebarnkickers.com. That's right, they combine ukulele, guitar, clarinet, and the stand-up bass for some rockin' good, mellow tunes. All right, folks, without further ado, it's The Barn Kickers with One Less Tear.
One less birthday party I must attend. One less Christmas card that I'll have to send. There's one less number to dial on my phone. But someday, maybe you'll change your mind and call me. One less reason to get up before noon. One less ukulele I've got to tune. Now that it's over, there's one last goodbye and one last tear to cry.
Can't go on living this way, I must have my freedom. My things I'm giving away, I surely won't need them. I see that road ahead, I'm wondering where it's leading. I've got nowhere to go, but still I'm on my way. Don't fetch my traveling shoes, I know they won't fail me. I play those traveling blues on my ukulele. I finally realize there's nothing left to lose except those sad old blues.
One last birthday party I must attend. One last Christmas card that I'll have to send. There's one last number to dial on my phone. But someday, maybe you'll change your mind and call me.
Don't fetch my traveling shoes, I know they won't fail me. I'll play those traveling shoes of mine daily.
Now that it's over, there's one last goodbye.
Except those sad old blues.
And one last tear to cry.
Hi kids, Space Ghost here. You are barking a happy tune on the Gig Cast. Isn't that where you go out and spear frogs?
Joining us now on the interview portion of the Gig Cast is a man we've had on a couple times before. At least I think it's been a couple times. It's been at least once. But anyway, it's a comic I really enjoy reading. He's got a one book out. Second book is on its way, from what I understand. And he's making a big server move. Not server move, but an internet move, which is kind of exciting. Mr. Lucas Turnbloom from Imagine This. Hey, Lucas. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Still recovering, but doing great.
Yeah.
I'm on spring break from my classes.
Oh, I wish I could be on spring break. I really do.
Like I keep saying, I should be in Cancun judging a wet t-shirt contest, but for some reason the wife and kids frowned on that, so it's not going to happen.
I wonder why. No.
I don't know. All right, so Lucas, imagine this. You're on, you got a couple hundred strips up there now.
Yeah.
And you've been on Comic Sherpa for a while.
I have, yeah.
And what are the big plans? What's happening over there with Imagine This?
Well, it's moving over to Go Comics. Go Comics is picking it up April 6th. That's a Monday, I think. So it's going to be moving from Sherpa to Go Comics. It's still going to be on my website, which is imaginethiscomic.com. And so that's one thing. And then the next book, or I guess it would be the actual first book, because the other one was more of a promo thing.
Right.
That will be coming out, I think, in May, probably early June, right before Comic-Con San Diego.
Oh, good timing. Very good timing.
Yeah, yeah.
We be going to that one?
Yeah, well, I hope to God I go this year. I had my tickets last year, but I got super sick, so I had to skip it.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, oh, it was horrible. It was bad.
All right, hopefully you will make it. You know, this year, apparently, it's getting bigger and bigger every year, though, isn't it, out there in San Diego? I mean,
it's getting just huge. It's basically just become, a Hollywood thing. They come down here and just screen all their movies and bring all their celebrities down here.
Yeah.
It's a little, I love it, but it really shouldn't be called Comic-Con anymore.
Yeah, it's more of a multimedia big budget con or something.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah.
But for the Comic Sherpa move, so Comic Sherpa and Go Comics, they're the same company, right? But kind of like the two sides of the same coin type of thing, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Sherpa is the paid site. Anybody can drop some money down and they'll host your comic for a year. And, and the deal is they give you some feedback and let you know what you're doing right and wrong. And Go Comics is like their online syndication.
Right. Well, that's the answer. And so, in other words, instead of you paying them, they're going to start paying you. Is that how their deal's going to be there?
I hope so. Yeah, that's the deal.
Well, to back up just a little bit, you said that they, Comic Sherpa, they kind of agree to give you a little feedback. Did you actually find that they gave you feedback, or was it pretty quiet?
It was pretty quiet, but I did get some feedback. Yeah, I got some feedback. David Stanford, he's the main guy over there. And he told me what he hated about the strip and what he liked. So, so that was well worth the money right there, I think.
Well, advice like what? Like Clovis is too nice, mean him up a bit, or what? What kind of advice was?
Yeah, Clovis cusses too much. You may want to pull that back a bit if you want to go into newspapers. So.
What does he know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But it was a lot of things. I don't have the email right in front of me. I wish I would have printed it out. But it's just a lot of advice on writing and timing and just basically giving me advice if I want to pursue – if it is my goal to pursue this as a career in newspapers, this is what I should be doing.
And apparently you must have followed it. And so now they're – because you have to be invited into Go Comics, right? It's not something that you can just say, hey, can I be part of this? So you actually have to they approached you about this?
It was kind of I had asked for feedback. Back, I think it was in June, July last year. It was right before the election. I had been on Sherpa for a few months, and I had put a package together for the syndicate with Universal. And I had in my letter, when I introduced the comic, because everybody already knew it, I was saying, maybe we can move this over to Go Comics. What do you think? I figured, what the hell, might as well shoot for that. And they said they'd give me some feedback, and because of the election, it just kind of fell through the cracks, I think, because they were doing a lot of stuff with that. So then I asked again. I just kind of nudged a few people and said, hey, what do you think about this? And they said, oh, we'll get back to you. And then they did. So, and then they thought, okay, yeah, let's see what happens. So, but it basically all happened from when I was sending it out to the syndicates and Universal was one of them. And since I was already on Sherpa, I figured, hey, might as well see if I can nudge them to move me over to Go Comics.
Sure. So. Cause they're Universal, right? Go Comics and Sherpa are the Universal's online. Is that how that works?
Yeah. They're all part of this giant thing. You click and yeah. It's all, yeah.
Well, very cool. I mean, things seem to be moving in the right direction for you, and I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you're looking at your – those of you who don't read Imagine This, you need to. It's the – it's very professionally done, obviously. It's awesome. It's newspaper formatted because that's what he's going for. But the characters are well-developed. The writing is spot on, and the art is wonderful. And it's just, and the characters. The characters is what runs the whole thing. Why don't you give the people out there just a little thumbnail description of the characters so that if they haven't read it, they know what we're talking about.
Okay. The main character, his name is Darren. He's just a 30-year-old guy who's unemployed. He lives in his dad's basement. And his dad was kind of just like a side character, but he's becoming more and more of a regular character. He's just kind of the, I guess, grounded figure. He just looks at everything and just kind of shakes his head. And as Darren lives in his father's basement, his best friend from childhood, which is Clovis the teddy bear, he's gone from a very innocent toy when Darren was a child to a very angry character. And then another one of Darren's friends, which is Dewey the dinosaur, which is another stuffed animal, is kind of the innocent, sweet character. And then other characters have kind of come and just become, I guess, within the strip, a phenomenon, which is one of them would be Robert the Plant, which is just the stupidest character in history of web comics. And it's just a plant. I can't describe him with a British accent.
Yeah.
There you go. And whenever I need something or I can't think of something, I just kill him off. And it becomes this big, long thing. Like, for instance, last week we killed the plant off and it went on for 4 days with Darren being depressed over the death of this plant.
Well, and the funeral was great.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. With the whole Snoop Dogg pouring the champagne over the casket. Yeah.
I saw Snoop Dogg do this once.
Yeah. And honest to God, though, I can't remember if that was a Snoop Dogg video or Dr. Dre, but I figured, yeah, Snoop Dogg, everybody knows who he is. So.
Yeah, but the very fact that, you don't remember which makes the joke even funnier. It's just like, if you're completely wrong, it's still, everybody's going to remember it as if that's the way it was anyways.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there you go. Sure.
Yeah. So those are the main characters. I mean, it's kind of an all-over-the-place type of strip. I mean, there's really no real theme to it. It's just this crazy guy with his stuffed animals living in his dad's basement.
But it works. It definitely works.
Well, thank you.
Because don't we all really want to live in our parents' basement deep down?
Wow. Yeah. I need to save the money, so yes.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know, but you got the other big things happening in your life. Never mind the comic move and everything else. You're expecting your second baby kid this
yeah, my second
version?
Son. Yeah, Well, my wife called me at work today. And she said, the baby's due in about 2.5-3 weeks, something like that. And she calls me at work today, and I'm in mid production of my graphic designer job. And she's like, I think I'm having contractions, and I was like, oh, don't do this right now. So yeah, that's the big news right now.
They say
now,
the
so.
Second one comes quick, too. That's the thing, is none of you can't have this walking around, sending you back home from the hospital like they did for us the first time.
Ah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were with our first, he was a week late, and we have Kaiser as our healthcare provider, and they won't let the baby go over a week before they induce. So on the day they were going to induce, she went into labor, and she was in labor, I think, 20 hours. So
yeah,
great.
You got to love financially mandated, medical decisions. You got to love that.
Right. Like,
yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
If you miss the target, we're just going to go ahead and holy crap.
Yeah. Baby, I'm sorry. We can't pay for any more pregnancy. So the baby's got to come out now or you're not covered. What? Yeah.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Kaiser's Kaiser, I suppose. I just remember the one thing I really remember about it is, being in another room with several other newborn babies and their mothers, and it was just, oh, for 2 days, that was something else. So not only listening to my kids scream, I'm listening to, two or three other kids screaming, and it was very interesting. But
so anyway.
Yes. Sorry to go off on the tangent.
No problem. This next book you're coming out with, I'm taking it, it's not going to be going through Lulu this time. It's going to be more of a a professionally published, or how's that coming about?
I'm leaning towards Lulu, but I haven't settled on it because I want to make sure that I can actually sell quite a few before I go to a publisher. I don't want to print off 1,000 and only sell 5 this time. I'm not entirely sure. I think perhaps Lulu would be what I might be looking at.
How big a book are we talking here? What's it going to be covering?
It's basically going to be covering all of last year. So most of the strips that were in the last book, Clovis Field, are going to be in this book and then up to I think February of this year. So about a year's worth of strips. I think right now the page count's at 110, maybe.
That's good.
Oh, big book then.
Yeah.
And it'll be, instead of the last book, which was two comics per page, it's going to be three comics per page. So
more book shaped, or because the other one was kind of square, wasn't it? I mean,
it'll be square this time. It's just a little. It has just a lot more content per page. I think it's maybe a little bit bigger than the one than the last book, but very similar.
Very cool. Any other extra features in there, or just pretty much the comics?
It'll have some art. It'll have some basic. It's almost set up like a chapter book. For instance, last year I had the battle royale between Clovis and Snuggle the Bear.
Yes,
and so that's going to have its own artwork, and then the Christmas story I did with a Christmas Carol, that'll have its own artwork, and then I might include some fan art I've given away over the last few months, just different little things like that. But sure. It'll be mostly the strips, with an occasional piece of art here and there.
Very cool. Very cool. Sounds like it's something new. And like I said, hopefully you'll have it for Comic-Con, which would be great.
Yeah, I definitely plan on it. I finished laying it out about 2 weeks ago. And I just basically all I need to do now is just draw the cover and, just find a publisher, and then it's done.
You have an idea for the cover? I know the last time the whole Clovis Field one was a riff on the movie Cloverfield.
I do have a theme. I haven't decided. I need to kind of think about it a little bit more, but I definitely have a theme. It's based off of a strip I wrote probably September, October. It wasn't a whole theme. It was just one strip. Clovis said something, and I just love that phrase, and I decided to name the next book that. So
very cool.
Yeah. I was thinking you could go with, like, The Watchmen, read this book.
Read this book.
That's a good idea. That's better than what I have.
it's called, placement. If you're going for the trade paperback thing, just get it put right next to the regular Watchmen book, and bingo.
That's a good idea. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as long as they put them on the shelf alphabetically, you're in like Flynn. You're all set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that is a really good idea. Maybe I need to rethink it all again.
So after the move over to Go Comics, and of course you get the book. Where do you see imagine this heading in the future? Are you still going to just plug it along the way you've been doing it, or any other big plans?
I think I'm going to keep plugging it along the way I've been doing it. I really love the idea of the webcomic. As much as I see, as much as I would like to see it in newspapers, I don't know the editors are going to go for it. It might be not family friendly enough. So I think maybe just keeping it as a webcomic might be the way to go. And then with Go Comics, of course, I mean, they have a huge amount of readers, and I'm hoping that being on that site, maybe I can sell some merchandise. Some more merchandise than I would through my regular site. So
sure.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Right now, I just plan on keeping plugging away like I've been doing. Seems to be working. So, but I have talked to a couple of newspaper editors over the last few days, and they said they're interested in running the strip, which is not part of the Go Comics deal. The Go Comics is strictly online.
Right.
So I really don't know how to. I really don't know what to do about that. So it's like, because they're not going to be selling it to newspapers. So
right.
So I may have to talk to a couple of editors and see what they say over at Go Comics.
Sure. Yeah, make sure that your contract doesn't, null and void any, other. Exactly. Because you're on Go Comics, you're not allowed to approach any other newspaper except through them or something.
Yeah, I don't think that was part of the deal, because it was the contract basically was just, it was all digital media. Like, for instance, they could sell it to, different websites, like Build-A-Bear or something like that.
Sure.
And
I'd get a Clovis Build-A-Bear. If there was a Clovis Build-A-Bear and you get the sound chips in there, that would be awesome. Would that be awesome or what?
That would be so cool. I would love.
Who would you get to voice him? Who would you get to voice Clovis?
I don't know, because I always hear my voice,
Bruce Willis.
You think so?
I could see Bruce Willis.
I could see that. No, I really have no idea. Bruce Willis could totally work.
Right.
Now, would it be Bruce Willis from Look Who's Talking or Bruce Willis from Beavis and Butthead?
Beavis and Butthead. Was he in Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, he was the main bad guy in the movie.
I was thinking more Bruce Willis from Yippee-ki-yay. You know,
Die Hard.
Die Hard. Thank you. I was thinking Dead. No, it's not Dead. What is it? I mean, Die Hard. No, I was thinking more along those lines there. Yeah,
hey, it'd work.
Kind of gruff, Sonic, very sarcastic. You know, it would work. So I derailed that comment. What?
I'll have to push the Go Comics people and see if they can talk to some people out in Hollywood. that would ever happen.
You never know.
If you get to San Diego Comic Con this year, you can pitch it.
Hey, does Bruce Willis have any movies coming out next few months? He might be there.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe.
You can find Bruce. Somebody else that's got a... Well, I just figured kind of a sarcastic, gruff voice, and that'd be...
Or maybe the guy that does Hellboy in the movies too. Hey, that might work.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, maybe Ron Perlman.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's funny.
He might be a little busy with Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, how long would it take him to say a couple of real sarcastic phrases?
Just be a couple hours, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. But that'd be cool. So anyway, I totally derailed the question about about getting non-digitally stuff. When you Go Comics is one that probably controls where it would go on the web type of thing you're talking about.
Yeah. It's all from my understanding of the contract. It's basically all it's digital. It has nothing to do with print media.
Sure.
I think that eventually if it got to that, of course it'd have to be renegotiated and then they would take care of it from there. But,
right.
But I think that I would have to tell them, of course, if a newspaper wanted to.
I think I'd go to them first and make let them say no, there's no problems before you start talks. Yeah, that'd be the smartest thing to do. So I love the fact that I can follow Robert the Plant on Twitter. I think the fact that he's the one in the house that's twittering, the one without fingers, I think is the is probably the is one of the coolest things out there.
He is the most popular character. I get more email, and whenever I, bring him in, my traffic goes up. It's unbelievable to me. love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
So those people, you people out there on Twitter, you can follow Robert the Plant. It's twitter.com/RobertThePlant, and that's him. So, and he's twittering almost every day. So
it's an amazing thing, considering he's a plant.
But. Well, they have those plants, water gauges that they put in plants now that will send you a tweet when the plant needs to be watered. So
seriously,
maybe it's something like that.
Wow, I didn't know.
Oh yeah,
is that?
Yeah, that's real.
Learning new things on the GigCast.
Oh, that is incredible to me.
Oh my God, the hibiscus is thirsty. I just got a text message. Yeah, so
that would be funny if it could be like, Instant Messenger and you can assign a voice to it. You assign a British accent to it. I need water.
So thirsty. Please, sir, can I have some more?
That would be Robert, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh. Any other social networking?
John Cleese has Robert Plant.
John Cleese, yes. Yes.
Oh, that would be hilarious. I had always pictured there was a couple of guys I pictured. Michael York, or is that his name? The guy from Logan's Run.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen Logan's Run in
forever, but it sounds right.
So I guess he would be Basil in Austin Powers.
Basil.
Basil Exposition or whatever his name was.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always pictured his voice, and then the guy from Lost, the Scottish guy.
What, the Hobbit?
No. The other guy with the long hair who could see the future. I forget his name, but those were the two voices I always thought. But John Cleese would actually work really well.
Or any one of the young ones, maybe. One of those guys, a little more punk. Going back. Anyway, are you using the I know, so you've got Robert out there on Twitter. Is there any other social networking things that you're poking your fingers into to try to drum up business?
Well, I'm on Facebook, but I'm gonna try to start a fan page for Imagine This fairly soon. I've been nudged to do that, but I just haven't done it. But that, it is coming. It that will definitely be there soon. Okay. But I think Twitter and Facebook, that's about it.
Yeah, what else do you need? Unless you're doing the get into the old. I don't know if we probably talked about this before. I mean, do you do your comics pretty much pen and ink, or is it more digital these days? Or
no, it's all pen and ink, and then I just scan it in and just format it a little bit, kind of tweak with the levels, and yeah, no, it's all hand drawn.
That's what I thought. Even the lettering, right?
Yeah, yeah. I purchased a font, my own font, last week, and I liked the way that looked, but I was showing it to different people. I was doing a comparison of a handwritten strip versus my font plugged in, and everybody loved the hand-drawn script instead. Yeah. So I've gone back to that. It's a little more time consuming.
Definitely has a looser look when you do that, yeah.
What was that?
I said, it definitely does have a little bit of a looser look. And you do a very good job of lettering, so it's not like you're losing anything by...
Except for time.
That was the one thing. I was looking to save a little bit more time, but it really doesn't save more time for me because, I have to format the font, the letting, the kerning and all that stuff, and make sure everything's spelled. I'm actually a better speller when I'm writing it out than when I'm typing.
Sure.
So it really doesn't save much time, but eventually I will buy, the full... font program, and I'll create a really nice font. But that that's when I start to make a little bit of money on the strip.
Right.
No, won't be for a while.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Any day now.
Yeah. It's gonna hit.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, Matt Scott. Matt Scott too. Any day now.
That's right. I'm talking to a couple millionaires here. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thanks a lot for coming on, Lucas. This has been great.
Hey, thanks,
Greg. About to hit the time limit here that we set for ourselves, and congratulations on going from paying for a site to maybe making a little bit of cash off the site with GoComics. That's great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on here, guys.
No problem. And be sure to send us we'll keep watching, but drop us a line when the book is set to launch, so we can let people know to head on over to your site and do pre-orders or however you're going to be doing that there.
Absolutely. I'll let you know.
All right, folks, that's going to be it. And remember, it's at imaginethis.com, imaginethiscomic.com. And once again, Lucas, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And that's the GigCast for this week. I'd like to thank everybody that helped out in this show. Of course, Lucas Turnbloom for stopping by and letting us know what's happening over at Imagine This at imaginethiscomic.com. Christiana Ellis for letting us use her Shallow Thought at ChristianaEllis.com, or I believe ShallowThoughts.Libsyn.com. Check all our stuff out there. Of course, Brian Anderson from Doggy Doug at DoggyDoug.com for letting us know what he's looking at in his for the spotlight. Michael Moss for all the great stuff he's found for us in the webcomic wire. Check him out at Quitting-Time.com. That's his comic there. Beatnik Turtle for the use of their music for the entrance, their theme music, and of course the Barn Kickers at thebarnkickers.com for the use of their music down in the Nike Studios Lounge. The Barn Kickers, I'm no Steve. Steve is the father of the Father Dotto Duo. He's a member and the starter of the ukulele. Tampa Bay Ukulele Society meetups that I go to every other week or so, and so he's a great friend of mine. He's letting me let me borrow a ukulele while King Uku is out getting fixed. So thanks again, Steve, for that. Check him out at thebarnkickers.com. Their CD is available. It's got 11 songs, 11 great original songs by him and his daughter. You might hear another one next week because I'm in that sort of mood. Anyway, that has been the GigCast for this week. I'd like to thank Scott, of course, for helping out with the interview. Check out his stuff at madscottcomic.com. Geez, you know, we haven't really talked about MegaCon, but we will coming up this Wednesday is going to be the March 18th is the third Wednesday of the month, so it's the live GigCast on TalkShoe. TalkShoe's been acting real goofy lately from a lot of people that have been using it. I've been trying to listen to some shows and participate in some shows. Not happen. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll work out fine on Wednesday, March 18th. Hope to see you all there at 10:30 Eastern Time. Which makes it 7:30 West Coast time. And if you're somewhere else in the world, you got to do the math yourself. I can't help you. All right. So anyway, for Night Geek Studios and the GigCast, this is JT Shea saying thanks for taking a listen. Subscribe if you haven't. And tell you what, we'll see you next week right here on the GigCast. And until then, enjoy your web comics. This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.
Oh, that's great.